You know what we need? We need a radio show on the air, like maybe on Saturday nights, that talks about this kind of thing.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman here. I want to let my listeners know about a brilliant Renaissance man named Dr. Arthur Perry.
You want to talk to Arthur Perry? The best in plastic surgery.
He's a distinguished, award-winning cosmetic surgeon trained at Harvard and Cornell with a practice in New York City on Fifth Avenue.
Dr. Oz, are you there?
I'm here, Arthur, and I want to again applaud you, having worked with you on a book and numerous other activities.
He's written numerous medical journal articles, and he's contributed to textbooks on plastic surgery.
Your remarkable knowledge, but also your grace at delivering content, which is why it's been a blessing to have you on my show so many times.
It's clear that when it comes to skin and aging, this doctor knows what he's talking about.
Joan, the public wants to know.
The public doesn't give a damn.
As a really, really gifted physician, I want to pay you the highest tribute I can give to a surgeon, which is when people come to you, they don't come for an operation, they come for an opinion. And that's why I trust you with my friends and relatives.
When I was a resident at the University of Chicago, we had a...
That means you're smart.
I didn't realize we were going to get the Michael Jordan of plastic surgeon. 90210 bows to this guy.
And welcome. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. And I hope you're enjoying this very humid weekend. Apparently, if you listen to that weather broadcast we just had, it is going to get cooler, which is good. I hope the humidity drops because this is not good weather, is it? You know, you have to kind of stay in during this weather. But you can stay in and listen to my show or stay in your car, which hopefully has its air conditioning on. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. I'm a board-certified plastic surgeon, host of What's Your Wrinkle, right here on WABC, doing this for 13 years now, every single Saturday night. I hope you're listening. You know, I see a lot of patients every week who tell me that they listen every week, and I want to thank you all. And tell your friends that this show is out there. This is a show about you. It's a show about your wrinkles, yes, about your jowls, about sagging eyelid skin and large noses and maybe a small nose. And how about lips that are so small you can hardly see them, or lips that are so big because someone put too much stuff in them? That's what this show is all about. This is the Straight Talking Plastic Surgery Show. I really try not to hype this field. It's such a hype field, isn't it? You know, you look at on television, you see these YouTube videos, you see all sorts of things. It is such a hyped field, but it is medicine in the end. It is the branch of medicine where I help you look better. And a lot of people think, well, that's just vanity. It's not important. You know what? It is important because it helps your self-esteem. It helps you feel good about yourself. And that is important. And we already know that your overall health is linked to your happiness and your depression or lack of depression. So if we can make you feel a little bit better about yourself, if we can help you in your relationships just a little bit because you're a little bit more secure, if we can help you maybe even get a job. Isn't that sad? But it's true. That's the way it is. And plastic surgery can do these things. That's what the show is all about. And that's what this field is all about. Well, the phone number here at WABC is 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Last week, we had so many phone calls. I mean, it was just packed. I could not get to most of your phone calls. And, you know, if you do want to get in, call early, 800-848-9222. And, yes, we're giving away bottles of nighttime again. This may be the last week, maybe another week, and then we're going to switch to one of my other products. But we are giving away bottles of nighttime. Nighttime is a one-stop shopping for skincare. A lot of you look at skincare, and your eyes glaze over, and you have no idea what to do. And I don't blame you because I'm sorry to tell you this, but there is so much fraud in skincare. I mean, there really is. These ingredients that I call fantasy ingredients. Can you imagine these things called plant stem cells? I'm sorry. We're not plants. We're humans. They don't have cells in them, these things. I saw one of these products, and I looked at the ingredients, and they actually said, they said plant stem cells, but then if you looked at the ingredients, they said there are no live cells in this. Of course there aren't live cells. There can't be. How do you keep plant stem cells alive in that bottle that's in your medicine chest? You can't. And what are those anyway, and what do they have to do with humans? It's all just ridiculousness. There are things that make a difference with your skin. And I really try and look at this as a scientist and as an honest doctor. I look at skincare and I try and simplify it for you, the audience, and you, my patients and customers. You might say, well, he's biased. He's got a skincare company. That was a response to all this stuff out there. When I really tried to prescribe good skincare for my patients, it was very, very confusing, and I really tried to simplify it. And the first thing I wanted to do was have a simple program that you didn't have to use multiple steps. And that's so important. How many of you are willing to do a 6-step program or an 8-step program? Well, you know, it sounds ridiculous. And the men out there that are listening say, that can't possibly be. But go to some of those websites and go to some of those stores, and there are 6 or 8 or even bigger, longer, more complex programs that they want you to be on. And you know as well as I why they want you to be on those programs, because if you come out of those stores with shopping bags full of stuff, they have won. Even if you never buy again, you know, if everyone does that, all 85 million women between the ages of 35 and 65, well, you know, they won. But really what skincare should be, it should be the things that make a difference, and there are only a few of those things that are scientifically proven to make a difference. Vitamin C, vitamin A, fruit acids, that's the mantra. Then there are some other things like niacin, vitamin B3, in a very special form, by the way, called niacinamide. That's the one that's the most studied. And there are a few other things that have suggestions. And when I talk about suggestions, that means a few scientific papers. But the ones that have thousands, that's vitamin C, vitamin A, and the fruit acids, they're getting up there. There's about 800 scientific papers about the fruit acids, and those are things like glycolic acid and lactic acid and citric acid. So that's what I put in my skincare, the things that are scientifically proven to make a difference, not the things that are fantasy ingredients that maybe work in a test tube but really don't work in humans. And that would be things like the hexapeptides, these very, very expensive things. They're in many different products. They can't possibly get through the skin. The molecular weight, the size of the molecule is too big to penetrate the skin. There's a law in skincare, by the way, and I don't want to bore you with the law. I'm going to tell you the name of it. It's called the 500 Dalton Rule, for those of you who are chemists or pharmacists out there. The 500 Dalton Rule means that nothing over a molecular weight of 500 can actually penetrate the skin. And you say, well, that means nothing to me, Dr. Perry. Well, it should, because the things that really work, like vitamin C and vitamin A and niacin and fruit acids and things like that, are all small molecules. And the things that have no science whatsoever, none, are giant molecules. So when you put hyaluronic acid on your skin, it's a great ingredient, it's a moisturizer, but there's not even a chance on earth that it can penetrate your skin. Just like I got an email from someone this week, and she said that she wanted to create a product that contained Botox, and that she would put it under like a Band-Aid type of thing, and it would seep through your skin. And I explained to her, you know, that's a great idea, except for the fact that Botox weighs 160,000. And if you listened a few minutes ago, I told you that nothing over 500 can get through the skin. So you're never going to see a Botox topical on the skin. It's got to be injected through the skin. Well, anyway, that's what this show is all about. We're going to be giving you a bottle of Nighttime. If you do, give us a call and have a question for us. Nighttime does have the things that are scientifically proven, the vitamin A, vitamin C, and fruit acids. I went on the Dr. Oz show and talked about the ACE program, A standing for vitamin A, C standing for vitamin C, and E, a lot of people get it wrong. They think it's vitamin E. No, that's not really important. You have enough in your skin. It's E for exfoliants, and that's what's in Nighttime. All right, well, that's enough for skincare for now. We're going to talk about a lot of good things in plastic surgery tonight. We're going to talk about hand rejuvenation. Hand rejuvenation, it's sort of a new field in plastic surgery. You know, the old joke was you see all these women who have these very young faces, you know, they look 50 or 60. Then you look at their hands, and they're 80-year-old hands. So, you know, that was the joke on TV, and Joan Rivers made that joke all the time. But we do have things now that can rejuvenate your hands. So we're going to talk about that during the show. I'm going to thank Governor Cuomo. Yes, he's had a tough week. He said some really strange things, but he did sign the law that banned children from using indoor tanning facilities. That is a breakthrough, finally. It's about 10 years overdue, because we know that tanning salons are really bad, and they cause skin cancer. They actually cause melanoma. There is no argument. I'm sorry. The only people that argue this are people that own those tanning salons, and I'm sorry. It was a bad investment. Sell it while you can. I think it's too late, because New York State banned it, finally, following other states. The children are the most vulnerable, and they're most vulnerable for a few reasons. First of all, they are most susceptible to developing melanomas if they use tanning salons. So much worse for children, teenagers, or people in their 20s than if you're 50, if you're Donald Trump. And you, does he use one of those? I think he does. But regardless, I think certainly if you're a child, you are much more vulnerable to getting a cancer. And also, you're vulnerable because you watch everybody else and don't make good decisions. And that's well proven. That's why we don't let children vote. You don't let a 12-year-old vote because God knows who they're going to vote for. So they're not going to be able to make these decisions. Before this law was passed in New York State, children could have their parents' permission, but now, nope, now they just can't do it. Children 17 and over are permitted now without parental consent. Let's see, that's the current law. But now, the way it is now, but now anyone under 18 absolutely can't use it, even if your parents say it's okay. So that's good. Thank you, Governor Cuomo, for passing or for signing that legislation. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. The phone number, 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. We've got all sorts of good things to talk about today. Did you hear about that Brazilian sort of plastic surgeon, not really a plastic surgeon, who was arrested for murder? Another one of those deaths. We talked about this in the past, these deaths from the Brazilian butt lift, and now they're charging people in Brazil for murder in this terrible, terrible procedure that we're going to talk about again. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. Stay tuned. We've got a lot to talk about today. 800-848-9222. We'll be back after these words.
What's your wrinkle?
I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, a board-certified plastic surgeon, host of this show. I hope you're enjoying it. Remember, this show is yours to listen to free of charge. There is no charge whatsoever for this on-the-radio consultation. But you have to remember, this is just radio. So if you've got a real medical problem, do not rely on my advice. You know, I like to talk and tell you things and give you my opinion. But you know, if you're listening to this, if you've got something real, you've got to see your own doctor. Don't just take my advice because you heard it on the radio. If you've got something growing on your skin or a real medical problem, you've got to see your own doctor first. You can't rely on the radio guy. All right, we've got a Robert Wood Johnson interview coming up in just a minute. But just like you can't rely just on the radio guy, it turns out you can't rely on YouTube advice. How many of you watch YouTube videos about plastic surgery? I bet you a lot of you. They're very, very popular. Well, in the Journal of the American Medical Association this week, in their facial plastic surgery journal, they have these sub-journals now. They looked at all these YouTube videos, and the conclusion, we'll get right to the chase, that the videos that show plastic surgery procedures and try to teach you something about plastic surgery can very well be misleading, and many of them offer bad advice. This actually was done at Rutgers in New Jersey. This some scientists there looked at 240 YouTube videos. They looked at videos that got 160 million views, and they said, nope, this is not a good source of reliable information. Sorry. And many of them did not even have real doctors in the video. And they were just, you know, that's the thing. They're just saying whatever. There's no filter. Anyone can say anything they want on YouTube. So be very careful. A lot of my patients come in, they say, I saw this on YouTube. I saw this. And, you know, first I have to kind of straighten them out. And then we get into the real meat of the consultation. All right. I have Dr. Hernani, I hope I pronounced your name right, Satterall. He is the Director of Global Health for Robert Wood Johnson Barnabas Health, RWJ Barnabas Health. And he's our guest this evening. He's the Director of Global Health, RWJ Barnabas. He's an obstetrician, gynecologist, and attending physician at Clara Moss Medical Center and the St. Barnabas Medical Center in Livingston. They're both part of the RWJ Barnabas Health System. When you think of health and medical care, you probably think of doctor's offices like mine and hospitals like Robert Robert Wood Johnson or St. Barnabas, but at RWJ Barnabas Health, New Jersey's largest comprehensive healthcare system, by the way, the focus is now on preventing illness by addressing employment opportunities and living conditions. And this is a new term. It's known as the social determinants of health. Dr. Satterall is helping communities around the nation and around the world access care and live healthier lives. He's going to speak to us tonight about social determinants, this new term of health, and what RWJ Barnabas Health is doing to address these factors, the Global Health Initiative. And interestingly, this is very pertinent, his recent efforts in Puerto Rico following that terrible hurricane. Dr. Satterall, thanks so much for taking time on your Saturday evening. Did I pronounce your name right?
You did, Dr. Perry. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a real pleasure speaking with you. So tell us now, what are social determinants of health? This is a new term for a lot of people. What are social determinants of health, and why are they important?
Well, that's a great question, and I'm happy to share this knowledge with everyone, and because it's very, very important. The determinants of health really refer to the conditions in which we all are born, we live, we learn, where we work, where we worship, and how we age. All of these factors account for about 80% of a person's overall health and affect his or her quality of life, while increasing risk factors, you know, for various illnesses. Too often, you know, our patients living in at-risk communities have limited access to employment opportunities, livable income, safe housing, healthy food, transportation, social supports, you know, on top of medical care. So, for instance, if you don't have transportation or the money to purchase healthy foods, for example, this can lead to obesity and heart disease and high blood pressure. Depression can also lead to substance abuse and cardiovascular disease. So you can see how each determinant really has a chain reaction that has a significant impact on our health.
And, you know, it becomes a vicious cycle. You know, it really does. And some of the inner city groceries, I know, have higher priced food and not as good quality food and not as many fruits and vegetables and things like that. And it becomes a real big problem. So what are you and RWJ Barnabas Health doing to address social determinants of health?
Well, we've been blessed by, you know, the leadership of, you know, Barry Ostrowski, our CEO, and Micheline Davis, our executive vice president, who heads the Social Impact and Community Investment Practice. Now, this practice not only takes care of the patients who come through our doors, but it helps individuals, you know, to thrive in their communities. And it's really a collaborative effort between RWJ Barnabas Health, our facility leaders within our system, and community stakeholders to improve the healthcare disparities and ultimately, you know, reduce these ills that happen from social determinants of health. A pillar of the Social Impact Community Investment Practice is the Global Health Initiative, which I'm fortunate enough to be the first leader of this initiative. And we ultimately are striving to help vulnerable communities and their residents both here and abroad.
So this is called the Global Health Initiative. What's the focus of this?
The Global Health Initiative is it's trying to identify issues that impact, you know, the stability of communities and factors that diminish the quality of life of residents living near the areas we serve, you know, as well as other underserved areas in both in the U.S. and in the world. RWJ Barnabas Health works with our employees and businesses and academic partners, especially Rutgers University, to address these social determinants and the unique needs of these communities. Our global health team works to identify factors that contribute to a person's overall health and well-being because, frankly, if we do not take a holistic approach by looking at each person's physical, mental, social, and spiritual well-being, we'll continue to only treat illness once it occurs rather than improving the health of our communities and preventing illness. I'm also, you know, pushing to advance best practices, and which ultimately, you know, can lead to health equity in the United States and abroad, you know. And I'm doing this by directing outreach efforts for international disaster responses and helping other clinicians who are interested in learning more and participating in global health initiatives.
Well, you know, That is, it's really interesting. Now, I want to tell you a little story. I was involved with a group called Healing the Children.
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful group. And we brought people into the United States from other countries and operated on them. People who have absolutely no resources and no chance in their own country of getting help.
Right.
And it's interesting because after I did one child and I removed a tumor from his face, this was about 15 or so years ago, I remember the community was so supportive, but there were a few responses that people said, you know, we should be helping people in our communities, not from other countries. And I was actually taken aback by that. Do people say that about your program? Or, you know, tell me.
Yes, they do. They do. And, you know, and I think that this speaks to, you know, this really the culture war that we're in today, you know, where you're facing people that are sort of turning inwards and, you know, focusing on sort of a, you know, America first approach as opposed to, you know, the fact that we live in a multicultural, you know, society in which, our neighborhoods that we live in the U.S. are essentially, you know, microcosms of the greater world order. And so, you know, I'd like to, you know, sort of, you know, say to people that, you know, it's really more about, you know, helping, you know, your fellow man, and whether they live in a different country, state, or, you know, continent. And, you know, and so this is, you know, that's the hard part. But, you know, we understand, you know, folks are suffering everywhere. And, you know, and our job as physicians is to, you know, provide relief of that suffering. And so however we approach it, you know, ours is not to choose who and where we help, but to ultimately to try to, you know, help as many people as we can.
Boy, that's so well put. I really like that. So Dr. Hernani Satterall is your name, and you are the Director of Global Health for RWJ Barnabas Health. Now, we've got about 2 minutes left. I want to hear about your trip to Puerto Rico and what's going on with the health of the Puerto Rican people after the hurricane.
Yes, that's a very, very timely question. You know, as you know, after the hurricane hit, it was really just a tremendous efforts that had to be put into place to help the community there who was already suffering from economic recession and faced many challenges before the hurricane. And we, as a system, have partnered with many folks, including Care One, you know, which is the largest assisted living nursing facility company in New Jersey. And we have made, you know, 5 trips now to the island, bringing volunteers, supplies, water, food, and getting to understand, you know, a little bit more about the challenges that the community faces, because it's not, you know, just sort of, you know, a cleanup and turning the power back on. It really is more about, you know, understanding how, you know, communities come together in times like this, and when, you know, the resources are limited, you know, at a federal level, and there's a underlying, you know, discrepancy in how, you know, certain communities can be helped. It has allowed us to, you know, really think more comprehensive and long term about.
And, you know, I wish we had longer, because this is so interesting. Dr. Hernani Satterall, thank you so much. Sorry we had to cut you off with the clock. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. We'll be back after these words.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And what is your wrinkle? I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, board-certified plastic surgeon. Welcome to the show. This is the second half of the show. If you didn't listen to the first half, we're on 6 to 7 every Saturday evening for the last 13 or so years. Where have you been? Actually, most of you, I think, are repeat listeners. But every week we get new people, and then I get new emails. And I got one last week from someone, and I think it was Melissa who said, does the Plexiderm really work? That's all the email said, because I've been doing this Plexiderm commercial. So the answer is it works. So let me tell you a little bit about Plexiderm. It's not my product. I didn't make it. I kind of wish I did. But Plexiderm is a great product from John Greenhut, my very good friend. We worked together on Night Skin, and that's how I know John for a long, long time. Remember Night Skin? That was a great product, right? But now it's Nighttime that I have. But this is a Plexiderm commercial. What is Plexiderm? It's not skincare like my products. It really isn't. What it is more like, kind of like makeup, because you put this serum on your skin, on your eyes, or on your forehead, or on your cheeks, wherever you have wrinkles, and you wait. You've probably seen these commercials and said, that can't be true. It's true. It really works. So what you do, you put this on your skin, and you wait a few minutes, and as you wait, your wrinkles go away. And it's a very interesting chemical process. It doesn't get absorbed into your body or anything. It stays right on the surface. And it's a kind of a curing of a clay-like material that's in Plexiderm. And as it cures, as it dries, it shrinks. And your wrinkles look like they go away. And your bags under your eyes. So this is really pretty cool. So if you're going out tonight to a restaurant and you're looking in the mirror and saying, I don't know, you know, maybe I need to make an appointment with Dr. Perry. Thank you, by the way. Don't cancel that appointment. But you might want to get some Plexiderm for the short-term improvement of those wrinkles. And when you wash it off, your wrinkles are back. It is not something that's going to make them go away long-term. And that's why I say it's more like a makeup than anything else. It's not like skincare. It's more like makeup. So you put it on. It lasts maybe about 6-8 hours, something like that, or until you wash it off. And you can do it every day. I did not believe the commercial. I asked John to send me some of the Plexiderm for my wife. And lo and behold, they're real. It really does work. So John gave me an 800 number to give you. And if you call the 800 number, which is 800-925-9963, did you write that down? 800-925-9963. You're going to get up to 50% off the normal retail price of Plexiderm. So give it a try. It is a really cool thing, and it goes hand in hand with my products. 800-925-9963. It's Plexiderm. So go ahead. And the answer to the email, yes, it works. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, and this is What's Your Wrinkle? And I guess if you use enough Plexiderm, it'll be what used to be your wrinkle, right? So really, 800-848-922 is my number here on the show. Give me a call. Ask me a question. 800-848-WABC. So what about hand cosmetic surgery? You know, I talked at the beginning of the show. We concentrate on the face. That's the primary thing that plastic surgeons are concerned about, aging faces. And, of course, we lift breasts and do tummy tucks and suction fat and things like that. That's what I do day in and day out. But in the last few years, more and more people have been asking me for hand rejuvenation because they look so good with their faces. You know, we've done all the different things. I do facelifts and fillers and Botox and eyelid lifts, and they look great. And then you look at their hands, and they're these splotchy hands with very thin skin, and you can see the veins, and you can see the tendons. So what can we do? So there are a few different things that I have been doing, and I really have to say it's pretty cool. It really is, because we can really change what your hands look like. But just like facial cosmetic surgery, it's very important to be artistic with hand procedures, because I don't want to make your hands look like the Pillsbury Doughboy. Remember that one? You know, with these big puffy things. And I have to say, if you look at some of the hands on TV, and I want you to remember this during the Oscars and the Emmys, you know, I don't look for content. I don't really care about the movies and the TV shows. I look at the cosmetic surgery. That's what I do during the show. My wife looks at the, you know, she wants this show to win. I just want to look and see who did good cosmetic surgery, who did bad cosmetic surgery. But as far as the hands go, so the best filler that I can put in the hands, I think, is Radiesse. That's spelled R-A-D-I-E-S-S-E. This is not a commercial. I wish they would advertise. They used to advertise a long time ago. But Radiesse is really very, very good to fill the hands with, because it's a whitish material. And most of the other fillers are clear. And I've tried using some of the clear hyaluronic acid fillers in the hands. And they fill, but they just don't hide the veins and the tendons and the things that really bother you. So if you look at a 25-year-old woman's hands, you look and you see that, you know, there's certainly an outline of tendons and things like that, but there's not a stark, you don't see the actual tendon, the whitish of the tendon. You don't see the veins bulging. But if you look at a 75-year-old person's hand, you will see those things. So what I do, it's really very simple. We take a syringe of radius, and I inject it in 8 different spots in the hand, 4 near the fingers and 4 near the wrist, and I infiltrate that along the tendons and the veins. Very important not to hit the veins. And I use what's called a microcannula. And that's kind of a tube as opposed to a needle. It's blunt, and the chance of actually puncturing a vein is much, much less. So I try very hard, and usually I'm successful at not getting bruising when we do this. And you say, well, that sounds like it would hurt a lot. It actually doesn't. We don't use anesthetic. And it just worked very, very well. You do put some Emla cream on the back of your hand. That's a topical anesthetic. But it works very well, and it takes less than half an hour to do this. And you walk out and you say, wow, you know, it's one of those procedures. You really do. It really does a lot. But it doesn't help the brown splotches of your hand and the crepey skin. That's where my new laser comes in. And I just got this laser a couple months ago. It is really cool. I have been using it now. I did it in my own hand. I wanted to see how much it hurt because I'm kind of a wimp when it comes to these things. But I did my own hand, and it's tolerable. It's tolerable. You know, it. I'm not that good with these things. I remember men are much worse than women, I do have to say, when it comes to pain. Many of you might have seen me laser Mehmet Oz on TV, and he kind of screamed in pain. And most of my women, they don't. They say, oh, this is nothing. This is nothing. So when we do the laser, what I'm doing, it's a series of lasers. I mean, I could do it in one treatment, but then we create a wound. The goal is not to create a wound. The goal is to laser the back of the hand. By the way, this is a CO2 laser, a carbon dioxide laser. And it's pretty cool because the laser I have has a little box, and you put your hand in the box, and I press the button and zap in a few seconds, literally. It lasers the whole back of your hand. And then I'll usually do a few passes. That means we go over it a few times. And that causes exfoliation of your skin. That means the upper layer of skin basically vaporizes. And it also destroys some of the brown splotches of the hand. Now, I could go very deep and create a wound and accomplish a lot, but there's a risk there. The deeper I go, the more likely there is to get scarring, and we do not want scarring anywhere in the body, no less the hand, because heaven forbid we create a problem and have a functional problem with the hand. That is not a good thing. So it's much better to do this in stages. So I do it usually 2 to 3 sessions with the hands, and we gradually lift up the brown splotchy pigmentation and improve the crepiness of the hands. And we can go all the way up the forearm, all the way. I haven't done the arm above the forearm. You know, the arm, by the way, is the from the elbow to the shoulder, and just to get very specific with our definitions, and the forearm goes from the elbow to the wrist. We try and teach medical students to use proper terminology, just like the leg is from the knee to the ankle, and the thigh is from the knee. This is your anatomy lessons for the day. Your thigh is from the knee to the hip, right? Okay, everyone has their anatomy down now. Anyway, the hand cosmetic surgery, those are the two most important things. I mean, there are little things that we can do also, but those are the two big ones. Radius to hide the tendons and the veins, and laser for the crepiness and the brown splotchiness, and your hands will look significantly better, significantly more youthful, right? And everybody asks, well, how young will my hands look? How young will my face look? Don't pin me down. You can't do that. Patients like to do that. They like to say, what am I going to look like? I did have a patient ask me last week, how old do you think I am? And I said, no, it's not a contest. We're not going to guess at that. And I'm also not going to tell you how many years you're going to lose in terms of becoming more youthful. But you'll look better, and that's a better way to put it. And when people say things like that, when they say, oh, you're going to look 10 years younger, that's marketing, and that's not real. And we don't like to do that. I want to tell you that you're going to look better for your age, whether it's your hands or your face. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. There's more to the show. By the way, give me a call, 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about about the hand cosmetic surgery. And I want to talk a little bit more about tattoo removal because, no pun intended, that's a hot topic. How many of you have a tattoo and want to get rid of it? I bet you a lot of you, even into your 60s and 70s. I'll be back in a minute. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. Stay tuned.
What's your wrinkle?
I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, board-certified plastic surgeon, host of this show, the one that you are now listening to as you're crossing the George Washington Bridge. By the way, how about this thing with the Lincoln Tunnel? I always wonder, how could our government leaders do something like this, have us for 2 years in traffic jams? You know, if I were mayor, which I would never be, I would maybe get 5 or 10,000 or 20,000 workers to work 2 weeks and get it done at once. Doesn't that make sense? I don't know. Don't get me started here. You know, sound like Mark Levin, but I'll tell you something. It sounds like some ridiculousness with our government tying up the Lincoln Tunnel for 2 years. Oh my goodness. All right. Well, let's get back to the topic here. And the topic was hand rejuvenation. So whenever I do a procedure, I like to do procedures based on science as opposed to anecdotes. And we talk about this all the time on the show. What is science? They're controlled studies with independent examiners looking at the effects of different treatments. And we want them to be proven scientifically as opposed to an anecdote. You know what an anecdote is? That's when you take something or have a procedure and say, this is wonderful for me. And I have so many patients that come in and say, I take this supplement, I take this. And I say, well, there's no science to it. They say, well, it helped me. That's an anecdote. So as far as the hand resurfacing, that's what we call this, with the CO2 laser, there was a very good study in the Dermatologic Therapeutics Journal. I'm sure you all read that at night to help you go to sleep. So they took just 10 people in this particular study, and they used the laser that I use. It's called a fractional CO2 laser. And they did 3 treatments spaced 1 month apart. And then a month later, so after, you know, after 1 month after the last treatment, they looked at the results. And both examiners looked at the hands, and the patients who were in the study looked at their hands, and they rated 3 different things. They rated wrinkles, they rated pigment, and they rated texture. So the investigators said that after 3 treatments, there was a 50% improvement in both wrinkles and texture. That's pretty good. And a 75% improvement in pigment. Now, the participants, the patients themselves, said the same thing about wrinkles, but they said their texture was even better, 75%. There was a 75% improvement in the texture. So 50% in wrinkles and a 75% improvement in pigment. That's good. There were no serious side effects in these 10 people. There's always going to be just a little bit of swelling and a little bit of redness, but that's good. And when we have studies like that, that allows me, the practitioner, to go ahead and do those procedures on you. You know, a lot of times people ask me to do things that have not been published, and we're not going to do that. We can't do that. We should not be doing that. There are lots of people that do things like that, and they wind up with problems because we want to study these things scientifically before your doctor does them on you, and hopefully that's the case. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle? Right here on WABC, and the phone number 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Did I mention my good friend Bobby Fallon? Bobby Fallon is a realtor in Highland Falls, New York. That's about a little less than an hour north of the George Washington Bridge, right up the Palisades Interstate Parkway. If you hit Bear Mountain and keep on going, you will then hit Highland Falls before you hit West Point. So it's in that area, in the Hudson Valley area. Beautiful area. I grew up there. Bobby Fallon is a great realtor in Highland Falls, and she's got 2 properties now that she wanted me to talk about. She's got the one I've been talking about, 173 Main Street in Highland Falls. That's, I guess there's 2 2-bedroom apartments and an office on 0.8 acres in walking distance to the supermarket, walking distance to the West Point Gate. Really wonderful place you could have, by the way, $385,000. You can't get a studio in Manhattan for $385,000. You just can't. I looked. You can't. There's nothing for sale for $385,000 in Manhattan, and yet you can live like a king or queen in Highland Falls, New York. You can have a little business. You can work there, and if you can, if you want, you can commute to Manhattan. It's about an hour if there's no traffic. If you go in the middle of the night, now with the Lincoln Tunnel. We don't know. Actually, you take the George Washington Bridge from Highland Falls to get into New York. There's a second property that she has in Undiora Park, which is the really nice area of Highland Falls. It was written up in the New York Times a couple weeks ago, and she's got a wonderful house, four-bedroom house for sale now, and it's about, I think it's about two-thirds of an acre, she told me, and it's going for $575,000 for this beautiful, and it overlooks the Hudson River. And she wanted me to mention that when you look out the back window, you see the boats on the river. You can get your binoculars and look at all the eagles flying by the Hudson River. So give Bobby a call. Talk to her about 173 Main Street or 58 Undiora Park. That means over yonder in Algonquin, apparently. 845-446-2238 is her phone number. That's Bobby Fallon. The Bobby Fallon Carousel of Homes. 845-446-2238. And make sure she knows you heard about it on What's Your Wrinkle. Heard about her on What's Your Wrinkle. All right, this is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. And I wanted to just mention, we talked about Governor Cuomo signing that that bill that banned using tanning salons in children, and that's a wonderful thing. And why is it wonderful? Because melanoma is such a big problem, and you think of it as a disease of older people, but it's so common in teenagers. Can you believe that? Teenagers who go to tanning salons. So please don't do that. There was, you know, you like to say, well, if you get in one of those tanning salons, use sunscreen. That's crazy. No one does, of course. You're not going to use sunscreen. The whole idea is to get a tan when you're in those things. I'll tell you, it's a real problem with them because they are legal, but now at least they're limiting them so that children don't use these. Carol, what can I do for you? What is your wrinkle?
I'm on blood thinners. I've been on it for 5 years now, and I heard, and I can see, it thins your skin. And my arm skin on my forearms and all of my arm, I should say, it tears easily. Like if I knock it against something, it'll almost rip rather than just a little scrape. And I was wondering if there's something called thermage or something. I've read it somewhere that it tightens and tones your skin from head to toe.
Oh, boy. You know, okay. All right. First of all, Carol, I want to ask you how old you are.
69.
You're 69 or 59?
69.
Okay. And what blood thinner are you on? Is it Coumadin?
No. I was on that for about 3 years. In the past two, I've been on Eliquis.
Okay. Now, I was not aware, and I don't think Eliquis thins the skin. I don't think it does that. It's a blood thinner, but it doesn't thin the skin. But at 69 years old, your skin is now thinner, so you lost 1% of the thickness of your skin every year after age 30. So you're closing in on 70. We'll do the math easy. Sorry about that. That's 40% of the thickness of your skin, 40% of the collagen in your skin, 40% of the elastin, the stretchy fibers in your skin are now gone. So that's probably why you're seeing thinner skin, just from the aging. And the other thing, the two things that can accelerate aging are sun exposure and cigarette smoking. So those are the things you can do. But I wasn't aware that the blood thinners. But let me just make a point with this. Now, there's something called scurvy of the skin. I spoke about this a few weeks ago. The arm skin is very liable to get depleted of vitamin C, and vitamin C is a very specific stimulator of collagen. And so there have been studies now that have shown that if we place vitamin C on the arms, we can actually thicken the skin of the arms. It takes about 6 months to see the effect, and it's required to have at least 5% vitamin C. You have to put it on at night. Again, I can't give you the specific medical advice to do that, but I would do it. It's pretty harmless. Vitamin C, put it on at night before you go to sleep. My product, Nighttime, has vitamin C. There are others out there that are very good. You want at least 5%, and it's called L ascorbic acid. And if you do that, it is very likely, but not guaranteed, that you will thicken your skin and it will look better and be maybe a little bit more resilient. All right, now you had a question. Go ahead.
I think you basically, as I had heard, prescription Retin A would do that.
Well, Retin A acts differently. The most potent stimulator of collagen is not Retin A, but rather it is vitamin C. So Retin A is also good for your skin and decreases pre-malignant things like actinic keratoses and all things like that. So it's good for your skin. I don't have many patients that use it on their arms, however.
Right.
But I have a lot of patients that use vitamin C on their arms. All right, Carol?
And that Thermage, if I'm saying
Yeah. Okay. So let me tell you about Thermage. And I wrote about it in my book, Straight Talk About Cosmetic Surgery. I am not a fan of Thermage. Thermage is electric current that goes through your skin. And the problem with Thermage is to try and put electric current through your skin and have it do what you want it to do is sort of like getting sheep to go where you want them to go. And I'm not a sheep farmer, but I understand it's difficult to do. And so there was a while back a class action suit because of the complications of Thermage. It's very painful. I'm not a fan of it, so I don't recommend Thermage. Sorry, Thermage people. I apologize. But, Carol, we're at the end of the show, and that means, Joanne, you're going to have to call next week. I'm sorry. I'd love to get your call, but, you know, Bruce is pulling me out of the studio. That music means we're out of here. Thanks so much for great engineering. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. During the week, give me a call, 212-753-1820 in Manhattan, 732-422-9600 in central New Jersey, not too far from Manhattan. It's been a wonderful summer. I hope it cools off a bit. Thanks so much. We'll see you all next week.
This program was sponsored by Dr. Perry Skindustries, LLC. The views expressed by the preceding program are those of the sponsor and not necessarily the opinions of 77 WABC or Cumulus Media.